This is Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so glad you've joined us for today's talk. Whether you're looking for encouragement, some words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's what you're gonna get with Richard. He's got a unique style all his own. But one thing's for certain, you're gonna hear the gospel in a way you may have never heard before. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Now, if you're not able to stick around for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from the website, richardellistalks.com. So let's get right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The If of Life. And if you'll notice, in the middle of the word life is buried the word if. Now, what is the if of your life? What is it that you just held everything up and said, well, if this happened, then I might be happy. I might get on with my life. But you know what? That hadn't happened. And if there's an if in life, part of that if, especially tied in with what we talk about as a church, is this whole concept of not just Jesus coming to earth, born of a virgin, not just him living a perfect life, though some question the virgin birth and living a perfect life. Beyond that, living this life, and then for some reason, because he died on a cross, shed his blood, like there's something in his blood. This guy, God-man supposedly, dies on this cross, shed his blood, then he was buried, and even if you make it that far, if you stop there, you got nothing. If he's dead, we got nothing. We have no reason to be here. You have wasted your day. Go to brunch, go to lunch, get a six-pack, go to the lake. You don't need to be here. If he is not risen, if he's dead, we got no reason to be here. So the big if is, do you really believe that? Well, you say, well, yeah, it's American to believe that. Sure, he's alive. Now, let me think through this with you a little bit. You are claiming that you believe, not just with your head, but somehow beyond that, that there's a God, or maybe you wouldn't be here, but you're believing that there's a God. You're listening, so you must think there's something to this, and you're saying, okay, he lived, Jesus lived, historical fact, Josephus, there's all kind of extra-biblical evidence for that. I'll go with Jesus existing. Okay, he died on a cross, I'll give you that. But don't just go sliding in because you were raised in some church or some family and say, well, yeah, and they buried him and it's Easter, let's all just pile in together. Of course he's alive. Do you realize what you're believing? You are claiming to believe that someone who was dead was literally raised from the dead. Now, don't just slide through that. And I'm going to go through some passages. If you've got a Bible, you're going to need one. If you don't have one, just listen close. We'll move pretty fast. And we're going to start in the Old Testament and work left to right. Your Bible should have a table of contents in the front. So if I call out like 1 Kings, which I'm going to do, 1 Kings 17, there's a 1 Kings in your table of contents. We're not giving away prizes for who finds it first. I'd like you to find it. And if you can find that, then maybe you go home, you read it some other time again. But there are some amazing accounts, and if you don't read the Bible very much, you'd miss these, and some people do read it a lot and miss these. But one of these is about a guy named Elijah, a prophet in the Old Testament. I'm going to read you a bunch of stories pretty quick. 1 Kings 17, verse 17 and following. Says, now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick where Elijah was staying. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself on the child 3 times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. A kid is dead. You think, well, man, where's Elijah when my kid died or someone I knew? Miraculous stuff. You say, well, that's just some story in the Bible. I don't believe that. If you don't believe that one, you're going to have to chunk the whole book because it's story after story. And either they are just that, stories, or it is history. It is truth. It is factual. 2 Kings chapter 4, go a few pages over. The guy that Elijah trained, a guy named Elisha. 2 Kings 4:32, when Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house. And again he went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. Now, it looks like Elisha's not as good as his trainer, Elijah, because he's having to do it and walk around the house and come back, but he learned something. Now, let me tell you something. You're not going to get any of this without faith. Do you know how much faith it takes to be a prophet or anybody and have a dead kid on your bed and say, oh, Lord God, I'm asking you to do a miracle, and stretch yourself out over that kid, a dead child, like something's going to happen? You're not going to get any of this without faith. It is about believing that God can do preposterous things, impossible things. But you've got to have faith to even believe the basic stuff here. Go to 2 Kings chapter 13. Now, this is why, you know what, if you don't read your Bible, you're going to miss this stuff. I think this is one of the coolest stories in the whole book. There ought to be a movie made just about these few little verses. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20. The same guy, Elisha, that we just talked about, had something going on, because look at this deal. Then Elisha died, and they buried him. Okay, so he's dead, he's buried, it's done. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was, as they were burying a man, these invading bands came in, one of their guys is dead, so they got to bury the guy. So in the middle of this battle, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. They had to stash the body, and Elisha's tomb was right there, so they stashed the man's body in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his own feet. The power in the bones of this prophet. And somehow God chose to manifest himself, and they're like, who the heck died in there? You know, there's still life in that grave. The bones brought this guy back to life. Now, it's going to get worse. You say, that's nuts. That's whacked. Nobody's going to believe that. You're just a bunch of fairy tales, and this was written by men, and they made it up, and you can't buy into all this. You know what? You're going to have nothing then. Because if God can't do this, then who's keeping you alive? And if God can't do this stuff, then who's going to change your life? Go over to Luke chapter 7. We've looked at some in the Old Testament. Let's look at some over here in the New Testament. Luke chapter 7, verse 12, New Testament. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord, talking about Jesus, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, don't weep. What do you mean, don't weep? My kid's dead. Don't weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, now he stops the procession, touches the coffin to get them to stop, telling mama, don't weep. Let me tell you something. You better have some power if you're going to tell a weeping mama who's got a dead child to stop weeping and to stop a funeral. You better know what you're going to do next. And obviously Jesus did and could do what he's about to do. And all he does, he didn't lay out on anybody. It says here, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. What is Jesus doing? He's talking to a dead boy. Like that's going to do something, like he's going to hear him. Young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Now, I also encourage you to do this. If you even remotely think this stuff's true, stop when you read the Bible and try to imagine this. Jesus has just stopped a funeral procession, spoken to a dead child who sits up in the coffin, starts talking. That will freak you completely out. I mean, you say, well, no, I've seen that before. I'd like to talk to you later. I got some nursing homes I'd like to take you to with me, and we'll just wait till they die and we'll get them out of there. Luke 8, go one more chapter. Again, Jesus here, 8, let's look at verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. What are you, nuts? Let me tell you something. If you decide to follow Jesus, somebody's going to tell you you're nuts. And they're going to tell you you're nuts right off the bat, believing what we're talking about. You tell me straight up, you believe somebody died and that God raised him from the dead. You're nuts. So if you decide to cross this line and jump in the game, I'm telling you, someone's going to look at you and say you are a fool for believing nonsense. These things aren't possible. So he goes in, don't weep. They laugh at him, verse 54. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. He's talking to dead people again. You think you see dead people? This guy's talking to dead people. Little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Like, sure. He keeps telling people this, by the way, in the Bible. I just, you know, healed you. Don't tell anybody. How do you keep this stuff quiet? The same way you keep it quiet. You say, well, of course you'd tell someone. Your life's been changed. Jesus has saved your soul. He's alive from the dead. You're going to live forever one day. How do you keep it quiet? Same way they did. It's just old hat. Well, yeah, I'll go to heaven, but that's personal stuff. I don't want to talk about that. You can't not talk about miracles. Go down to Luke 16. Luke 16, let's start in verse 19 here. And I may just fly through some of these for the sake of the context. Here, a guy named Lazarus begged outside of a rich man's house all his life. They both die. Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom, and the rich guy goes to a pretty bad place. Verse 24, then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, now look at this rich guy's thinking. He says, okay, if Lazarus can't come here and I can't go there, then we got to help somebody else. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses, the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, they won't listen to the Bible. They won't listen to the prophets. That won't work. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Some of you have been to church your whole life. You grew up in church. You say, well, it's full of hypocrites, and I don't believe all that. Well, you're sitting here, you're listening somewhere today, so something must make sense. But see, even if someone raised from the dead, you saw them raised from the dead, you might go, wow, that was cool. What are we having for lunch? What are we doing tomorrow? Because if you're like a stiff, you get stiff. And nothing moves you anymore, and you're basically dead already, man, that's a terrible place to be. If you're still malleable, if there's still something inside you that God can move and breathe and you can hear, I'm telling you, if you hear his voice today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, the scripture says. If you hear anything, then respond to that. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11, we'll start here in verse 11 and kind of scan through this. Pretty long story if you want to read it sometime, about verse 11 all the way down to the end of the chapter, almost 53. One of Jesus' best friends, a guy named Lazarus, gets sick. They send for Jesus. He doesn't go. And basically, Lazarus dies. And of all the people Jesus should have gone to help, it was his buddy Lazarus. But he says, no, we're not going to go. We're going to wait here. There's a reason. And down in verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. You know, while everybody's dying, let's go with him. So they go, they find Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters. And verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, no, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Same question to us today. And he's asking her that. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when he had said these things, she went her way. And they went to the tomb and skipped down there. You can see in verse 38, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Don't be taking a stone off the tomb. He's gone. 4 days is not a good thing. An unembalmed body, don't take the stone off. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Look at verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. And there Lazarus is, raised from the dead. This almost got Jesus killed. Got Jesus killed, almost got Lazarus killed, because they wanted him gone. He was a symbol of the power of God that Jesus had manifest. Go to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works, charitable deeds, which she did. Happened in those days that she became sick and died. And this is Peter now, verse 40. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Peter's raising people from the dead. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now you think I preached long, this cat went all day long. All day to midnight, and everybody was fine with that because they weren't going to get to see much. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. So anybody out there that's sinking into a deep sleep will be able to relate with this brother. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. He fell out of a third story window and died. I mean, if you think this is a killer sermon, that was unbelievable. Verse 10, but Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. What kind of power is this? This kind of power is the kind of power that you and I supposedly, if we're Christians, have living in us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, if you're a believer, is what lives in you. And you go through your life and we kind of say, well, God, if you're not busy today, I'd like you to, you know, so-and-so I heard's really in trouble. Maybe throw a bone their way. You know, give them a break over there. You know what? Stop a minute and think, God, I got the power living in me that raised Jesus from the dead. What can I do with that kind of power? Not to misuse it, but to bless people, to change your life, somebody else's life. Say, God, you know what? What could we do? If I come to you in Jesus' name and ask in faith, believing, what could happen? Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I recommend sometime before the week's over that you go in here and read the whole chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, it's a long one, but it's a pretty simple read. And I think you'd enjoy it and answer a lot of questions you might have. But 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 1. This is Paul writing this church in Corinth. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. And then the word if. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. In other words, some had already died. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, Paul says here, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Now look at verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And then look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. You realize what a shame, what a tragedy it would be if somehow there really wasn't a resurrection of the dead and we bought into this thing all these centuries, 2 millennia. And this story, this lie has been passed down that Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead. We're like, yeah, that's it. You know what? If he's not alive, you wouldn't have any power. You say, well, that sounds right. I don't have any power. Then you ought to be checking the hookup. Make sure you got him to begin with, because if he's in you, you're going to know that. This isn't about going through religious exercises and being ceremonial with your life. It's about a person living in you and through you. If he's not alive, how in the world is he going to live in and through you? Woody Allen said, I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve it through my not dying. But you know what? Sooner or later, you are going to die and have to face this. Verse 29, otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Verse 32, if in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, look at his assessment. If there's no resurrection from the dead, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You know what? That's the way most of the world's living anyway. Eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die. That's all there is to life. Who's going to make anybody believe this? You can't make anybody believe this. It's preposterous. But if something inside you is stirring and you're going, you know what? Why is this crazy story starting to make a little sense to me? I don't want to believe this. You know, you kind of put your fingers in your la, 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 I'm not listening. I can't hear you. But it's not your ears, it's your heart that'll hear this stuff.
We'll get back to Richard in a quick moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. And the best way to do that is to make it a priority. One that's simple, practical, relational, and transferable. So it's our prayer that these talks from Richard don't just become something you hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. It's time to stand up and let the good news be heard. Join us in this mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with a few closing thoughts for us.
Let me ask you something. What's the if of your life? Well, if I wasn't so proud, if I wasn't so afraid, if I had more answers, if I had a sign from God, what bigger sign from God do you need than his own son coming to earth, born of a virgin, living a sinless life, dying on a cross, being put in a tomb, and then God raised from the dead? For God's sake, somebody's been raised from the dead that died for you. What bigger sign do you need? And you say, well, I just don't understand everything I even know about it. I can't explain it all. If you've got that much down, then respond to that. If I came along and handed you a key and said, this key is to a brand new car, it's yours, you wouldn't stop and say, well, what kind of car is it? What color is it? What kind of seats? Leather, velour? You'd go, thank you, and take the key, and then you'd figure it out and see what you got. It might be a heap. But it also might be the nicest car on the planet. God is offering you eternal and abundant life. To eliminate some of these ifs, the biggest if. If I died today, the question is, where would I go? You say, well, no one can know the answer to that. Let me tell you something. I know the answer to that question. If I drop dead right here, I'm going to tell you where I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm a good person, not because I was nice to little old ladies crossing streets. I will die and go straight to heaven because Jesus lived, died, paid my price. He shed his blood to pay for my sin and to offer me free of charge the gift of eternal life. And what he offers to me, he offers to you. And if you will reach out the hands of your heart and say, Father, I've screwed up. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I can't change my life. I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of my past and the consequences of that. But I believe, I see now somehow that Jesus died on that cross. He was buried. He was raised from the dead to purchase a place in heaven that he offers me as a free gift. I reach out the hands of my heart. I take the gift. I ask you to come live in me and through me and change me. That's that simple. You say it can't be that easy. Easy for who is the question? Not easy for God. It cost him his own son. Easy for us. We just say thank you and take it. Now you say I'm a fool for believing this. I'll tell you what I think. I think anybody's a fool for not believing it. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's what the Bible says. You say, well, that's harsh. You're calling me a fool. I'm not calling you a fool. I'm just reading out of the Bible. You say, well, I didn't say I believed all of it. I just believe there's a God. Then if there is a God, you're probably going to have to face him. I encourage you to have an answer for him. You don't like this answer, get you a better one. But you better have an answer.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. One thing's for certain, when Richard talks, the message of the gospel is going to be clear. And if that's something you want to know more about, then clearly we want to hear from you. One way is to give us a call and let us know how we can help. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're on the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer requests and people all over will pray for you, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It would mean a lot to us. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.